Morning, one and all. These sessions this year are on English manuscript evidence, so they support why we hold to the King James Bible as the Word of God and encourage us in the way. And obviously the Word of God is so important to us. Thy Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask his blessing. Father, we thank you for the opportunity of gathering this morning. We thank you for the way in which we can use this time on a Sunday morning to be in your word and to be further instructed and to be strengthened in our most holy faith. And we pray, Lord, that you would guide us in these lessons, and Father, that you'd give us great understanding and help with these lessons. Who knows what's going on out there? And we thank you God for this day today, and we pray that you'd bless us and guide us in this time. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, have we got anything on the screen or not? We do. Good. Good. So these lessons are a clear and concise and accurate study of the doctrinal, textual and historical basis for having absolute trust in the Bible we hold in our hands, that is, the authorised King James Version. So it's important for us to know that we have the Word of God in our hands, and that we're not out looking for something else. We have the Word of God, and it's amazing how far off these modern versions have taken things. So it's important for us to be in the Word of God and to be standing upon the Word of God. So the aim of this course of study, found on page number 1 of your notes, to acquaint the student with the general history of the Bible, the history leading to the King James Bible. We've already had some of this in pastor's lectures in the evening on the King James, to give the student understanding of the various kinds of manuscripts for evidence for Bible texts. And some of these moderns think that there are hardly any originals left, any original manuscripts, but there's plenty of manuscript evidence out there. Their characteristics, their relationship to the various translations of the Bible. To instruct the student, point C there, in the science of lower of textual criticism, that is, expositional understanding of the Word of God, examining the popular theories and propositions advanced today. There are different ideas about the text, and much textual criticism being done by liberals. To give the student an understanding of the issues relating to Bible versions, the things that we face today, and to give the student a firm grasp of the doctrines of the preservation of the Word of God. That's an important thought, the preservation. God indeed has preserved his Word for us today. To strengthen the student's confidence in the authorised King James Version as the preserved Word. To equip the student to confidently defend the authorised King James Version. And this is where I think we need more help, to defend the authorised Version, the King James, both scripturally and factually. And then both scripturally and factually. Okay, to foster a greater love and respect for and to increase the student's faith in the Word of God, and to enhance his use of the Word of God in preaching, teaching, evangelism and personal devotions. And obviously those are important things to us, to have the Word of God as the central theme and the basis of all our understanding. To stimulate the student and prepare him for further studies in the Word of God. So this is a basis and for further study in the Word of God and the use of the Word of God. So it is an important course. The importance of the course, what we believe about the Bible determines what we believe about all other doctrines. This is because our faith is Bible-based. And a lot of the wacky ideas that people come up with and interpretations and ideas about what the Bible is saying is coming from modern versions and their weakness. So our faith is Bible-based. Bible-based. And I thought that was nice in the testimonies that we had last week from the baptismal candidates. Emphasising that we are 100% Bible. Amen? 100%. We're going to stick to the Word of God, and that's what makes us different, because we do that. And if you're off on the Bible, then you're off on all other doctrines. And we have... So if we have the wrong Bible, we'll have wrong beliefs accordingly. And that's what's happening largely today. The modern versions are designed to favour certain weird beliefs of modern people. So Christ and Christianity stand or fall with the Bible. And I like this verse in Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That answers the question that people often ask, what's wrong with churches today? What's wrong with Christianity today? Well, there's the answer right there for you. Foundations are destroyed, so people no longer have the Word of God. Well, then they're all at sea. If they're told that they don't have the Word of God, they're all at sea. They don't know what they believe. So the importance of the Bible to Baptists. Baptists are characteristic. And a Baptist is a Bible-believing person that likes water, amen? Amen, that's right. The baptism by immersion that characterises what we call the Baptist. And some Baptists don't go by the name Baptist, but they practice those things. But we like to go all the way, amen? So Baptists are characterised by what they believe and what they do. So the scripture is profitable for faith and practice. And in the Reformation, the great catch cry that transformed Christianity was sola scriptura. Sola, scripture only. And that transformed things. And of course, when we say the King James is the Bible, that helps us in our faith. So faith and practice, what we say and what we do, need to line up with the Word of God. So that makes us distinct in these days. First and foremost, Baptists are people of the book. We are Bible-based in all that we believe and do. And if you look at the doctrinal statement of the church, all that does is state very clearly in language that is clear today to today's people what the Bible says. It's not another idea, it's what the Bible says stated clearly. It's amazing how some people come up with different ideas, and when they see the Bible, they don't know where they're at. So Baptists believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God. The Bible is the authority. It's the Word of God. It's Jesus' statements to us as to what we are to believe and to do. So we have that in Timothy there. We have that word in 2 Timothy 3, what we should be memorising here. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There was no discussion or debate about it. Thou hast known the holy scriptures. That's what they are, the holy scriptures, from cover to cover, 66 books of the Bible, Holy Scriptures. And we remember all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. For doctrine, what we believe, for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, that is, complete, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So it's important for us to have that stand and faith on the Word of God. So the authority of Scripture is so important. The authority of the Scripture. And we run on the authority of the Scripture. So we are people of the book. The first great historic Baptist principle then is Baptists believe in the absolute authority of the Word of God. We believe the Bible is supernaturally given, providentially preserved, and powerfully effective. Yes, the Word of God. And there's many scriptures you can look up in your private study. We'll only be referring to a couple of them on each point because of time. So there they are. Baptists ascribe no such authority to traditions, canons, creeds, historical writings, scholarship, or experience of Christendom. Experiences of Christendom. We don't go by those things. We go by what the Word of God says. And we stick to the literal interpretation of the Word of God. God means what he says. And he wants us to understand his truth. So there we don't go by those other things. We go by the authority of Scripture. And most religions of Christianity do go by other things than the Bible. And that's what makes us different. So the second great historic Baptist principle is Baptists believe in the distinctive dispensation of the New Testament. So we don't get mixed up about who the Jews are, who the Gentiles are, and who the Church of God is. Those three entities. The Jews were not automatically taken over and extinguished by the Church. We have these entities, and the Jews are spoken of very clearly in the Bible prophecies, aren't they? But the New Testament dispensation is what we are in now. And that means that that is the explanation of what we are to believe as New Testament Christians and what we are to believe in the church and so on. We don't go to the Old Testament for the doctrines. In that sense, for the church, we stick to what the Lord taught us and how he interpreted and explained for us those beautiful pictures that there are in the Old Testament. So we go by the new dispensation, and that is the New Testament. And that is important for us to keep in mind. We believe the New Testament comprises of the words of the apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as such is the authoritative rule for faith and order in the Lord's churches. Again, very obvious, isn't it, that that is true. Okay, so then we'll go on to the next point. The third great historic principle here is we believe in soul liberty. Now, this idea of soul liberty needs to be explained. It means that you, it basically means that you have the ability to have a personal relationship with God in his word. You don't have to go down to the priest and ask him about what you are to believe. You don't have to go down to the priest to ask him to absolve you from your sins. That kind of foolishness. And we believe that you can have that personal relationship and you have liberty to take the scriptures and to read them and to understand them for yourself. Every man is competent to exercise private judgment. Psalm 119:130. Have we got that up there? Psalm 119:130. Okay. I have no idea what's up there. Yes. There it is. Psalm 119, 130, and Psalms are so clear, aren't they, on that matter of the Word of God. So, soul liberty. Every man has that ability. We believe every man has the right to freely form, hold, and express opinions. So, there's an importance there to make sure that we honour the Word of God in that, because no scripture is of any private interpretation. So it's important that we have that balancing factor here. We believe that every man is responsible to obey the Word of God and is personally accountable to God for his actions. For his actions. And that is so true, that he is responsible for his actions. And these are so important, aren't they? 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you. This is your personal relationship with Christ and his Spirit within you. And you need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teacheth you all things, and is truth, and is no lie, even as it hath been taught you, ye shall abide in him. So it's important for the believer to understand his personal relationship with God and his accountability and responsibility to God. So there are some things that come into that particular area. So everyone has the ability to exercise private judgment. Every man has the right to freely form and hold and express opinions. It's freedom of speech, which is one of the basic and inalienable rights in our society. We believe every man is personally responsible to obey the Word of God. Yes, we ought to obey God rather than man. We believe in the separation of church and state, that both institutions are ordained of God, but for totally different roles and purposes. That civil government can and must mandate a person's behaviour, but cannot mandate a person's heart and conscience. So his soul and spirit, not under the domination of these things. Now Australia has been set up with a separation between church and state. Like in Great Britain, they still have where the king is now head of the church. We believe that the church is under the headship of Jesus Christ and is a separate entity to state. State has its responsibilities, the church has its responsibilities. And we ought to obey in matters of conscience and conflict with the state. We ought to obey God rather than man. Acts 5:29. It's important for us to stick to the Word of God. Now the Bible teaches very clearly a separate entity, the church. There are three entities to keep in mind. There is the family, the church, and civil government. Three entities that we are responsible within. All of us, whether we are children or parents, it's all the same. So these things should be separate. And the state should not be dictating to the church what it should believe and how it should practice things. Now, whilst we uphold that, the separation of church and state, yet we do not think that there's a separation between God and state. Amen? The state is answerable to God, and they still have in the beginning of Parliament that prayer to God. And that's been often attacked, hasn't it? But anyway, the church belongs to Christ and is to obey his word and to follow him in all things. And that is so important. All right, and Jesus taught that very clearly when they were talking about the tax problem. in the New Testament. Jesus said, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's. Render unto God that which is God's. Civil government does have responsibilities for the safety of the general public, roads and other services and so forth. And even Jesus felt that they needed to pay their taxes properly. Remember, they had a problem and they didn't have any money, so God gave them some money by a miraculous way. We haven't got time. It's another lesson over there. But here it is very clearly in the Word of God, a separation and a difference between the two and an importance of the authority of the Bible over the church. So the fourth great historic Baptist principle, Baptists believe in the priesthood of every believer. That means that you have the right and authority to approach God, come boldly before the throne of grace. You have the right as an individual believer to come to the Lord, and your salvation is from the chief priest, our Lord Jesus Christ. And from him, and we can have that relationship and have that personal prayer with him. That means that we can confess our sins directly to the Lord, that we can follow the directions of the Lord in our own hearts and lives, and we can lead in prayer, and fathers can lead their homes, and those things are part and parcel of the priesthood of the believer. And that is so important for us to understand that. Okay, now we're on to page number 3 there. We believe no man, organization, ritual or creed can rightly stand between the soul and God. And again, there is one mediator between, this is 1 Timothy 2, 2:5, one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. There is one mediator. We don't go to the priests and so forth in order to approach God. We have that direct relationship with God. And so no organization, ritual or creed can rightly stand between the soul and God. This idea of the last rites the Catholic has, if someone's dying, apparently a priest has to show up and give them the last rites so they have rights to enter into heaven. Not necessary, is it? The Lord Jesus has already got that. We've given us that. We're saved by faith. So therefore, we enter in through the Lord Jesus Christ, not some man. So there is only one mediator. There is only one high priest, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. And he has given us his precious word. So we should stick to the word of God. Now then, that brings us to point B there on page 3 of your notes, the issue of authority. So intrinsic to any belief system is authority. Whether it be society or the nation's constitution, science has natural laws, or whether it be in the area of religion, a belief has to be based upon something. Baptists believe the only infallible authority is the word of God. In matters of religious belief, authority is and always has been the real issue. And the Lord gives that little parable there in Luke 19 and talks about who we ought to obey. And it's important there, the question of who we ought to obey. Who is the authority? The Lord Jesus Christ and his word. In history and practice of Christianity, the authority of the word of God has been largely subjected to the authority of the church, Roman Catholicism and so on, Orthodox religion and so forth. In these systems, authority is bound up in the patristic writings, in the writings of the Church Fathers, in the writings of St. Augustine of Hippo. And I think that's a good statement there, the father of corrupt theology. And it was his theology that influenced Calvin to set up his system of theology. and they are not biblical based, and so important to consider the Word of God there, isn't it? Very good. So the patristic writings are not based for not the basis of what we believe. The church councils, the ecumenical councils held at Nicaea, Constantinople, Chalcedon, and Ephesus from 325 to 865, they are not the basis of what we believe. The Lateran councils held in Rome, where they pronounce different doctrines, the doctrine of transubstantiation, which is the wrong view of the Mass, where they believe that the body and blood of the Lord Jesus are present in the communion service. And in the Catholic Church, when the bells ring at a certain point in the Mass, there is supposed to have been a miracle take place, that those things turn into the actual body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that that is not right, that it is not true. And so you have the Catholics that believe in the transubstantiation, and you have the Orthodox that believe in consubstantiation. They think that Jesus is standing right with them when they participate in the table, so in the Mass. So those are wrong views that were pronounced, and the Church of Rome still goes by those things, and the Eastern Churches still go by those things. The Council of Trent, which declared many of the Old Testament apocrypha as canonical in 1546, so that we don't have the apocrypha. It's not the Word of God. It does not come up to the standards of authenticity to be included in the Bible, but they have included them. No, the Vatican councils have met and proclaimed what they call papal bulls, where the Pope pronounces different things. Did you hear that the other day? The Pope pronounced now that a gay couple can go before the altar and be pronounced with a blessing. So, you know, it's definitely not biblical. Now we see that they go by those different things and statements by the Pope. See, the authority of the Pope when speaking ex cathedra from the chair of St. Peter. He sits there and raises his makes proclamations of different things. So in history, the doctrine of the Immaculate Conception was decreed in 1854, that Mary was... had a virgin. Mary was born of a virgin birth herself, and that is wrong doctrine. Mary had other children beside the Lord Jesus, but she was a virgin giving birth to the Saviour. She had not known a man. But that's different from this doctrine that Mary is immaculate, and that they have to pray through Mary to get to God. Again, it's a wrong idea. It comes from those sort of meetings and not the Bible. So the dogma of papal infallibility was decreed in 1870. So what the Pope says, he is the mouth of God, apparently. What he says goes. And we as Baptists find that offensive. What Christ says, we do. What he has dictated in his word, we follow. Not some words of some man, somewhere. The Pope's a sinner. How can he resolve and forgive sins? Only God can forgive sins, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. So we find that these religions are set up on the authority of creeds, Protestant denominations, the Augsburg Confession of Faith, which the Lutherans hold, the Westminster Confession, which the Presbyterians hold, and the 39 Articles held by the Anglicans. And if you study those carefully, you'll find that there are many things that are not quite right, that are just a bit off of what the Bible actually says. And then there are some that go by the authority of the cults. And I thought that Joseph Smith... We saw the real real Joseph Smith? And do you think that we believe that Joseph Smith has the key of the door to heaven? No, thank you. So various Watchtower publications, people go under the authority of the Watchtower, that's your Jehovah's Witness, the writings of Ellen G. White, are under Seventh-day Adventists, and Science and Health, the Key to the Scriptures, Christian Science. All these things have views that are not biblical, and they set them up for authorities in people's lives. That's the cults. Charismatic authority, this is an interesting one to consider. The charismatic authority, the elevation of human experiences. Okay, the elevation of human experiences. And this is a dangerous situation. And we were telling a relative of mine, we were telling them about what the Bible says about a certain moral issue. And they said, oh no, we don't go by that, we go by the Holy Spirit. And so that's personal ideas and experiences become elevated in the place of the Word of God and of Jesus Christ. To know things as they are is better than believing things as they seem. To know things, to know the Word of God, and tongues seems to be put forward as a great move of God. But the reality and the truth of it is not the biblical tongues. They were foreign languages that were understood and interpreted. Then there's the cranial authority, and this is the exaltation of human reason above the Bible. Okay? Human reason, the Word of God. We've got to work this out. We've got to work out what it's saying. Well, if you take it literally, you'll find out what it's saying, amen? Don't have to rationalise it up here. Work it out. This is how it should be, the authority of the Bible over the brain, okay? What does the Bible say? And the brains ought to be exercised in studying and understanding the Word of God and submitting to the authority of the Bible rather than some weird experience. And so many of them, you ask, well, are you saved? Well, I did this and I did that and I did the other, and when I went forward, a man put his hand on me and I went to the ground, bang! And is that salvation? It's human experience, but it's not salvation. So you've got to get a lot of confusion with the charismatic authority. So cranial authority then has as one of its main planks there, rationalism. Working it out rather than accepting it to what it says. This belief system denies the supernatural. Oh no, God couldn't have done a miracle to take the children of Israel across the sea. Oh no, God couldn't have done that. It must have been just pontoons of reeds they went across on. And Pharaoh and his army drowned in 3 inches of water. Hello? Hello? They deny the miracles, and these rationalists, the German rationalists are the worst. So many of you know what my name is, Ringwald, but I do not identify with any German rationalists. I would rather listen to what the Bible says than what Professor such and such says. One of the professors, one of the German professors, held up 3 pages with the Ten Commandments, the Beatitudes, and a few other words of Jesus. He held them up and he said, "Jingum, this is the Bible." And the rest of it he rejected. Well, I think we should reject him, amen? He's a heretic. Ah, yes. So the relativism, they only believe what is culturally, socially and morally acceptable. This is how things are changing so much, because of the relativism and the culture. They're changing with the culture. And the church is becoming more worldly. The world is infusing itself into the church. How sad that is. And then there's the postmodernist. One can believe nothing absolutely. Authority is ever changing. And they say that they are... I'm trying to get the word. They say that they're agnostic. They don't know. They don't know that Prime Minister Hawke, he didn't know. And sadly, he died in that condition, not knowing either way. Well, unfortunately, he knows now, but it's too late. So the authority of the mind and the rationalism taking over runs some people's lives and runs a lot of Christianity, religion today. So conscience authority, let your conscience be your guide. So, while the conscience was given to man for a witness of God's truth, yet we read that sin has affected it and it can be seared with a hot iron. Seared with a hot iron, that's a terrible picture of the inability of the conscience to be able to respond to the truth of God. And so people run by the conscience. They do what they feel is right. And Jeremiah 17:9, what does that say? Is that on the screen? Jeremiah 17:9, that the heart of man is what? Deceitful and desperately wicked. So it is that these things are affected by the fall. By the way, that didn't take the ability of a person to accept Christ as their Saviour. It just means that it affected their rationalism, that it affected their ability to discern truth and from error. So the authority of the critics, there are many that bring higher criticism into the Bible and try and examine every aspect of what the Bible says and can't and have trouble because they're rationalists. They have trouble accepting the miracles of the Bible. And so this is sad. And then the lower criticism where they're working with, all right, they say, yes, it's the Bible, but they start to examine it with a critical spirit and in the wrong sense. Okay. So it's important for us to have that surety that we have the Word of God and that we hold and have the Word of God in our hand. So in early decades of the 20th century, this is on page 5 now, the issue of authority, of authorship and authority, that is authorship, inspiration and authority, credibility, the outcome of these contentions was a broad division of Protestant Christendom into two camps, liberal and conservative, modernist and fundamentalist. And this is what's happened. The fundamentalist believes the Bible is the Word of God and sticks to that. The liberal or the modernist goes by rationalism and other things. So these two camps, there's the new evangelical and the fundamental, and the new evangelical loves these modern versions which cover their sin and so forth. So many sound Baptist churches have thrown out the authorised Bible, the King James. Have gone for other things. And somebody was told me that their relative had attended a church recently and the minister was using one version, the person that did the Bible reading was using another version, and a lot of the people in the congregation had another version. So there were about 5 different versions present. Confusion reigns, amen. Confusion reigns. So the debate is which is the Bible? And we can say unequivocally the Bible is the Word of God. The King James Bible is the Word of God in the English language. So the multiplicity of versions available varying different claims and styles of writing and differences in key doctrinal passages. If the truth is narrow, then they cannot all be right. Notice this, things that are different are not the same, right? Okay, so really what the question is God able to speak to us clearly in a language that we can understand? Well, obviously yes. And has he been able to keep his word so that we have the word of God with us today? Of course. So the story of our English Bible is fascinating and amazing and humbling. It's the story of the very words of the living God that were transmitted from the throne room of glory to our frail and trembling hands. Holding the Bible is like like standing in the presence of Almighty God, like sitting at the feet of Jesus, like watching the workings of his Holy Ghost. The Bible, the King James Bible, is the Word of God. So through these lessons, they will explain the understandings that develop that thought and that help to keep us on the right way. So if you notice those next pages, you can read them for yourself, that they give an outline, a bit of an outline of what will be taking place in future lessons through the year, and they're all explained in the book. So you be in the Word of God, and make sure that when you do go through those lessons at home, you look up all the scriptures, because just for the sake of time, we can't look at them all in the lesson. So you can do that, and the best time of Bible study is by yourself with the Word of God, isn't it? Where you can get into the Word and you can memorise these things. So it's an interesting course designed to encourage you. And I'm sure that if you want to answer the questions in a test situation, that will help you to remember what is going on in the lessons. And you've even got in the book there how if this was taught in Bible college, they would grade your work. So I don't think you need to panic over that, amen. The main thing I think for us today is to realise that the Word of God is God's authority in our lives, and that we need to stick to what God says. And we need to stop asking questions that are foolish questions about the Bible, because some people do. They get themselves into a terrible mess asking questions and criticising the Word of God. And that's a very serious problem. And if somebody does start doing that, it's no wonder the devil gets his foot in the door. Is that criticising the Word of God, or believing that some things are not right, or there's contradictions and so forth? That's a foolish avenue to take. And it will only lead to further discouragement and despair. So when we come to our King James Bible, we have the Word of God, and we can stick to the Word of God and enjoy the Word of God. So I'm sure that these lectures will help you greatly in especially arguing along the line of the Word of God. By the way, when you're out witnessing, give them the gospel first, then do the arguing later. Let's go to prayer. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this opportunity together. And, Lord, we pray that you'd help us to have a very good attitude towards the authority of the Word of God, and that we would not only be hearers, not hearers only, but doers of the Word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.